Without further ado, Rabbi Glatt.
Okay, this is now with slides. You don't have to look in your books. This is the part two talk. Part one was what I was asked to discuss on Erev Shabbos. We talked about the sugya in some general details about what is the definition of brain death. We spoke about the two different opinions. Today, the two specific issues that I was asked to address are, can the Jewish community become more involved in organ donation, given the two different opinions that have been proposed as the two halachically valid opinions? And more importantly, and this is what I believe further augmented or strengthened the unbelievable controversy that has seemed to have arisen in the last year, is it ethical to receive an organ such as a heart-lung type of a transplant that requires the person to be brainstem deaf but not cardiac deaf in order for the vast majority of such transplantations to be successful? So are you allowed to be in camp two but take an organ from somebody in camp one? In other words, can you go against your shita and accept an organ, even though you say that it would be ritzicha if you were to take that organ itself? Is that halachically permissible? And what I would like to restrict the discussion to is the halachic permissibility, but a lot of what I will talk about is why this has become such a controversy. And I was asked to speak as well about the controversy as opposed to just purely the halachic discussion. So I will hopefully get to that in the time allotted. And if I talk fast, I'm sorry. I had concluded my last slide with the idea that Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. In other words, you have two valid halachic opinions. We won't go through the whole discussion again. There is a camp that says you can halachically take a brain stem deaf person. He's dead. Halacha says he's dead. His heart's still beating. The heart is a viable heart, an excellent resource for a person who needs a heart. And you can take that beating heart out of that person because they're halachically dead and do the tremendous mitzvah pikuach nefashos and insert that heart into a person who has a failing heart. And 5 to 10 year survival rates for heart transplants today are in the 85-95% area. So you're talking about a highly successful, not like the Moshe or his first tshuva, it's a double ritzicha. You're killing the guy you take it from, and you're killing the guy you're putting it into. So clearly, whether you want to hold that the first one is ritzicha, the second part of Moshe's equation, the facts have changed. It is absolutely pikuach nefashos for the guy that's receiving the heart. It's an excellent 10-year survival rate. So therefore, are you allowed to do that or not will be determined if you hold the first part is still ritzicha or not. This controversy about whether you can accept in such a situation has caused, I unfortunately think, many unintended side effects besides just Chilul Hashem. But it makes it extremely difficult to exist in the secular world with people who are unfortunately intrinsically anti-Semitic. Esav Sonei es Yaakov is an idea that has not gone away. Lav dafka, not necessarily that every single person in the world fulfills Mahadrim and Hamahadrim, Esav Sonei es Yaakov, but there's rampant anti-Semitism. Anybody who has heard any of the recent discussions about what's going on the college campus, or by Weinreb Shlita, also mentioned a number of issues of anti-Semitism, flagrant anti-Semitism. Anybody who reads a newspaper, reads the scary pre-World War II San Francisco discussion about circumcision, sees the vicious pictures that show a bearded, evil Jew with payas as a monster. This is Germany 1933 pictures that are published all over the place. And anything that we do that chas v'shalom further incites the secular world has to be very, very, very carefully thought out. You have a halachic right to make certain public pronouncements. I'm not talking about the Beis Medrash. The Beis Medrash, you find very strong language sometimes. You find language which maybe we might be mechanech our children with to talk like that even in the Beis Medrash. But it always stops when they leave the Beis Medrash. And we can't allow ourselves to be influenced by secular society where the way one politician wins is by not proposing new ideas or brilliant social economic platforms, but by making the other person look stupid or by ranking out the other person or putting down the other person. You never elevate yourself by putting down the other side. All you do is roll in the mud with them. And you can never justify your position by calling names to your opponents. Knocking apart their shita, that's the Jewish tradition. Knocking the person is absolutely wrong. And that's what I want to talk about. Because, as I mentioned the other day, even Nisan, Yisurim, Yom Kippur, do not atone for a Chilul Hashem. One of the reasons we say Kaddish has nothing to do with the mace. There's no words in Kaddish that talk about the mace. But the idea of Kaddish is that you're trying to create a Kiddush Hashem. Multiple people saying, Yehei Shvei Rabbah. That is creating a Kiddush Hashem. The only way you can somehow negate a Chilul Hashem is by creating a Kiddush Hashem. But not quid pro quo. He can't say, well, I'll do two Chilul Hashems and I'll do two Kiddush Hashems and I'm even and neutral. It doesn't work that way. So we have to guard so much against Chilul Hashem. And then on a practical point of view, we have to guard against inciting anti-Semitism amongst the Goyim. And anything that we do, we don't think ahead. Ezu Chacham, Haroes Hanolad. You have to be aware of what you're saying. It's very sharp and very beautiful. You get your name in the newspaper and you get press. And you're causing a pogrom. You have to distinguish between that. And therefore, as I've mentioned already multiple times, the brainstem death controversy has to die a dignified death immediately. It cannot be something that's argued about in the Jewish Week, in the Jewish press, in the Ted, and in any other place. And certainly not in the New York Times, in the Wall Street Journal, in the Washington Post, in the LA Times. And I assume Toronto has a newspaper too. So, summing it up in terms of what the controversy is, if Halacha considers a brainstem dead person alive, it's Ritzicha to take the guy's heart out, period. And Moshe said that in his early tshuva regarding the famous Christian Bernard Louis Washkansky case. And nothing has changed. The first part is Ritzicha, I'm not saying Moshe would hold that, but if you hold that the guy is not dead, so it's Ritzicha to take out his heart. The fact that he has 12 minutes to live, a week to live, doesn't change it from a halachic point of view. Maybe from a basin point of view, they said change your king because the guy needs his basin. Irrelevant. We don't give his basin anyway. Halachically, it is called ritzicha. You cannot take that heart. End of the discussion. If you halachically hold the other viewpoint, then it is not called ritzicha because you can't kill a dead person. So if the person is dead, so then you can take any one of his organs. I think 100% of the contemporary poskim. I remember reading the Tzitz Eliezer and Rebbech Zatzal. I think the Tzitz Eliezer was against doing certain types of even cadaveric types of transplants. I'm not sure if he had a change in mind. Some of the Tshuvos, I think he did say so. But my doubt is not important. The vast, if not 100% of the posts today say you are allowed to take a cadaveric organ and donate it. If you hold somebody's brainstem dead, it's halachic dead. So they're beating hard. It's a cadaveric transplant. And there's no problem with it. So these are the two sides. So halacha l'maisa, this comes up in heart and heart lung transplants. Kidneys you can take after the dead. You don't need to get involved in this. A liver maybe, but you can even take live liver donor transplants. So the main issue here is with heart transplants, heart lung transplants. That's the halacha l'maisa ramification of this machlokes. Most organs have certain viability even post cardiac death. And the list on the top is labdafka, 100% agreed upon by every transplant surgeon. But basically, all the organs on the top, you can transplant even if your whole brainstem death is halachically alive. And the real issue is heart and lung. Yes, you could argue that maybe some other organs will do better. You can show percentage points. Leave that in the side. Can you transplant the heart into a person who holds a brainstem death is halachically a live person and would require, under his viewpoint, a ritzicha to take place. That's the question. So, I'm sorry, one more slide here. Living donation, it's a whole separate and important discussion, is a wonderful thing. Look at Yisrael Kedoshim, hey, we're an unbelievable people, Rahman and B'nai Rahman. You have people that are donating their kidneys today to people they don't even know. It's a wonderful thing to donate your kidney to somebody you know. But you have Yisrael Kedoshim, hey, that are donating kidneys because they read an ad in the Yateb, in the Jewish press, or wherever, and they read an ad that says, you know, this young mother with five children needs a kidney. Oh, positive. And people come. There have been probably over 100 such donations already. Unknown to the original donor who the recipient is. That's an unbelievable chesed. This has already been discussed. It's an absolute mitzvah, but not a chiyuv. We've gotten into the discussion a number of times. You can have something that's a wonderful, wonderful mitzvah, yet it's not obligatory to do. Eretz Yisrael, living in Eretz Yisrael is the best example, according to Rav Moshe. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing to live in Eretz Yisrael. You're becoming a mitzvah going through Moshe every single second you did. It's a mitzvah kiyumis, it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis. So we have this idea throughout our halachic discussions. Those that disagree with your emotion, I'm not here to discuss that question. But it's an illustration, an example of where something can be an absolutely wonderful thing which you'll merit eternity sitting basking in the Ziv HaShechina, but not Bachu that you have to do it. So, in these situations, it's a mitzvah to donate, but not a chiyuv. That's clear. How can we increase organ donation? I don't think there's a posek today who would not agree that we should increase organ donation in whatever camp they fall into, under whatever circumstance, with a donor card, without a donor card, with only certain organs, without certain organs. Yes, once you've reached a certain amount of organs bank, you have to stop, and bones, and skin, eyes, with all the caveats that there may be some limitations on the idea, I don't think that any poskim today in any camp in Orthodox Shomer Torah mitzvahs poskim that would disagree that we should try to increase organ donation. How? That's a big different discussion. I don't think that the poskim today object to this. The isurim or potential problems have all been essentially obviated. There is no halachic objection because there is no whole prohibition to benefit from the mace. There's an issue normally of nivul hamace, but pikuach mufashos can countermand that. There is normally a prohibition of hanas hamace and nivul hamace. Pikuach mufashos can countermand that. There normally is a mitzvah to bury the mace as soon as possible, but we all know that there are halachic situations that countermand that chiyuv to bury right away. And you can wait for a son to come from out of town. If it's more of a covet for the mace, you can do it. And if it's a mikuach nefashos situation, you can do it as well. So if you have a cholel lefaneinu, for example, that can override it. We do this all the time in a number of situations. There is a concept that maybe the donor, the person who's the nifter, who's going to become the donor, maybe he has to have agreed to this in his lifetime. Or at least he has to be neutral. If you know that the donor was strongly against any of his organs being donated, then many posts will say, you're not allowed to take such an organ. Even though it's something that we would say is arguably, objectionably, a good thing to do. So there are parameters, restrictions in this idea of mass harvesting of organs. But everybody would agree that it's a good thing where your halachic ideas are not violated. And in most situations, especially if you're dealing with cadaveric or live donors, it's something that we should be trying to encourage. And it's a positive and a very good thing. So how can you do this? You have to improve education. You need Rabbanim to speak up and say, both in a private setting, when Nebuch, Rahman al-Islam, the family comes to you and say, you know, our son Rahman al-Islam was in a car accident and he's terminally moribund, go say, it's whatever term you want to use, going to die. The doctors feel there's no hope, and his head was injured, and his body, Baruch Hashem, is fine. And there's the heart, there's the lung, there's the pancreas, there's intestines, there's kidneys, there's corneas, there's everything. Can you donate it or not? It can be sometimes very therapeutic and very comforting to the family to know that Nebuch, their child, died. Horrible, horrible, horrible tragedy. And yet they know that they were able to keep alive some of the other children, some of the other people that were Nebuch in need. So this is a good thing to educate people. Balabatri, both before and Nebuch, during the time when such a situ was halacha l'maisa, including general education, is a wonderful thing. People shouldn't go into the mistaken idea, which probably was, I would say, the vast majority of people 20, 30 years ago, that Jewish law doesn't allow halachic donation. That's not true. It's simply not true. It's a misconception. Granted, there are restrictions, there are parameters. I'm not arguing on anybody's halachic restrictions. But in general, there are scenarios that every rav can find where halachic organ donation is acceptable, and we should, as a community of rabbanim and of poskim, we should be educating the masses, the balabatim, to understand that this is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. Why not have everybody sign up to a donor card? So again, there are many reasons not to necessarily favor the organ card donation route. And there are reasons to favor the organ card donor route. The issue for me and for my rabbi, again, I stress, I'm not a posek. I quote the words of my rabbi. I try to also quote the words of other rabbi that I don't necessarily follow halacha l'maisa, but I have tremendous respect for them. So you have lists and lists of people that signed on to the organ card donation, lists and lists of people that have not signed on to the organ card donation. And again, they'll keep you lying. What's the reason not to sign on if I'm telling you it's such a good idea? Because as Rabbi Steinberg already pointed out, if you don't have all the safeguards in place, it can be very potentially dangerous to have a blanket carte blanche, literally, carte blanche, saying, take these organs. Because some very aggressive transplant teams will take them as you're walking into the emergency room for your elective cholecystectomy. There's a tremendous need for organ donors. Transplant surgeons have a very vested interest, altruistic and financial, and academic. And the more they do, the better their program is, and the better fellows they get, the more funding they get. Chassid Shalom, I'm not suggesting that's their primary motive, but they're no gambit. So you need to have, as the methodology is done in Eretz, you have people that are absolutely unrelated to the scenario making the decision. Yes, the guy is dead. Yes, the guy is not dead. And this way you remove the negius factor. In America, there is no such system in place. And my personal rabbanim are against a blanket organ donor card for that very reason. You don't know what it's going to mean. And that's why most poskim are against the New York State proposed law that is not going through this legislative section to make the default position, as it is in some European countries. I don't know about Canada, but in some European countries, the default position is if you get hit by a truck in the middle of the street, your organs are public domain. And they can take your organs unless you specifically say not to. So that's something that is a very halachic, difficult situation to be in. And carrying an organ donor card, signing on the back of your license, could put you into a situation where halachic parameters are not being followed. And that's the argument by many who agree with organ transplantation, who are pro-transplanting organs, that there needs to be fail-safe measures, such as a rav, an Orthodox rav, saying, yes, you can take these organs. The family having discussed with the Orthodox rav, as opposed to, before you get to the emergency room, the organs will be harvested already because he's dead. So that's the argument for against cards. That's more of a non-halachic argument. That's a philosophy. How are you viewing this? So those that think it's not a concern, gesundheit. Those that think it's a concern, gesundheit as well. There can be financial incentives involved in organ donation, which is a very interesting halachic question, but actually not as big a question as it is in the secular world. The secular world is extremely against paying somebody for organs, whereas halacha is probably not against it. Not that halacha is for it, but halacha would not necessarily be against getting a fiscal reward. And secular society is shifting to the, we can't give you a fiscal reward directly, but we can put you to the head of the transplant list should you ever need it, or your family members, or that you can get all your benefits of being away from work and all the financial losses made up to you. So there's a middle ground that secular ethics are coming to that is more approaching the halachic ground. But I'm not here to discuss that either. I'm just saying these are issues that maybe we should consider. It's such a big mitzvah, so why shouldn't the person get paid $50,000 to donate their kidney if we have a dearth of kidneys and it's going to make somebody's life better? we pay people to be EMTs. I even hear they pay doctors to do doctoring work. So why would it be so ridiculous to pay somebody to donate a kidney? So not here to discuss that unlucky problem, but that's in the realm of the discussion. Should we put financial incentives to increase organ donation? Can there be government mandates? You get Medicare Plus if you're on the organ donor list. You only get regular Medicare if you're not on the organ donor list. Can you put in incentives to increase the viable population of organs? These are all within halachic realm, and there may be more societal factors in whether we do this or not. But these are all methodologies to increase organ donation. And one of the last ones, which is a segue really into the second part of the talk, is can we give organ donors, if you sign a card, so then right now, Baruch Hashem, you're 25 years old and you don't need it. You've been an organ-carrying donor for a card-carrying member for 25 years, and now you're 50, and all of a sudden you need a kidney. So instead of you being at the bottom of the list, you get to go to the top of the list of the people that have agreed to be organ donors. And if you're on the list for 5 years, 10 years, 2 years, 2 months, so then you get priority over somebody that's not on the list. And this is being discussed very much in various legislative bodies, as well as in various ethical discussions. So the halacha, what is the halacha? So, can you take but not give? Let's put it into the starkest contrast, because I think everybody's in the giving camp. It's just a question of where in the camp you are. We're all in the giving camp. There's nobody in this room, I would hope, they would say under no circumstances would they ever consider having they themselves, Rahman al-Islam, a family member, anybody, give a donor from a halachic point of view. There may be personal objections, they're squeamish, whatever, I'm not discussing that. But we're all in the quote giving camp. So it's a misnomer, and it's a chilul Hashem, and it's a terrible diatribe against the Jewish people, and incites Rahman al-Islam virulent anti-Semitism to put out there that Orthodox Jews do not give organs. It's A, sheker, and B, it causes virulent anti-Semitism. And when people publish stuff like that, they're doing a tremendous disservice to Klal Yisrael. And while their motive, I'm sure, is pure, they're doing it l'shem shamayim to increase organ donation, what they're doing is causing Rahman al-Islam ritzicha. They're causing pogroms, real or potential. And I don't mean to be so vehement, but I do mean to be so vehement, because the virulence of the anti-Semitism in the world today is scary. It is absolutely scary. This is a halachic discussion. It's not rhetorical flourish. People love to get op-eds printed in the New York Times. My great Rabbi Mordechai Willard Shlita refuses to speak to the press. So I don't speak to the press because A, they're going to misquote me, and B, I don't need to see my name in the newspaper. He doesn't speak to the press. There's no reason for some of these discussions to be out there in the secular world. And when people like to see their name in the press, it causes problems. It's not a secular ethical question. This isn't something that we can say is something moral, is something not moral, is something good, is something not good. We only believe the definition of good is what the Torah defines it. Nothing else. You're not allowed to return an aveda because it's a good thing to do. You find an aveda in this hotel, you're not allowed to go to the front desk and say, I'm returning this lost item because I think it's a good thing to do. I'm sure the person misses it, and therefore I'm returning it. But you have to go to the front desk and say, I'm an Orthodox Jew. Somebody lost this. God said that the Jew has a mitzvah. I'm making a kiddush Hashem. Hashavas aveda. That's why we return something. Not because it's a good thing to do. We don't define what is a good thing to do. God does. Therefore, there is no such thing as saying something is morally appropriate or ethically appropriate. The only thing that we can say is the Torah says this is the right thing to do, or the Torah says this is the wrong thing to do. Or I don't know what the Torah says. Or the Torah is actually neutral on this. Or the Torah is permissive. You can go this way or that way. The response we just talked about, on certain situations you can ask for therapy, in certain situations you don't have to ask for therapy. Torah says you have a field of choice. You cannot cause a chilul Hashem. You cannot cause anti-Semitism. You can't cause non-frum people to think lesser from people. You're causing tremendous trouble in the Jewish community. Sinas Chinam is why we're going to Nebuch be fasting next Tuesday. Hopefully we won't. The 3 weeks start. This is the time to talk and look at ourselves and introspect and say, why in the world would I want to cause a Chil Hashem? Why in the world would I want to cause Jewish people to hate other Jewish people? So, non-bainstem, very uncomplicated. There are no halachic issues. There may be slight differences between the camps, but there's essentially no differences between the two major camps. And the government can do whatever it wants. If the government wants to make a rule that you get a high priority if you're on the organ donor list, kazoom to hate, they can. If they want to not, they don't have to. These aren't halachic decisions. These are based upon halachic principles, and there's a lot of room to make whatever rules you would like, as long as they're fair and they're halachically acceptable, which for the vast majority of times for non-heart lung transplants, they are. Much, much more complicated is the issue of taking a transplant of a heart or a lung. Here there are huge differences between the camps in terms of whether it's halachically permissible to do it. So again, even though it's mikuach nefashos, if I'm the transplant surgeon, and Rahman al-Islam, it's my patient there waiting to get the transplant, and I know how to take the heart out from that guy and put it into that guy, and I'm the only guy around. It's a desert island. There are three people on it. The donor, the transplantee, and me, and the surgical team. So it's absolutely awesome for me if I hold that it's Ritzicha to do that. There's no doubt about that. I had a discussion also with Rabbi Steinberg. He said that's essentially the situation in Eretz Yisrael today, where you're really dealing with an individual taking the heart out for another individual. It's a small country. There's a small list. They don't take donor organs from other countries. They don't ship their organs to other countries. So you're dealing with that desert island population. So there, for me, as an organ camp member who says that it's Ritzicha, it would be awesome for me to do Ritzicha. But if I'm a physician who falls into the other camp, and I say it's not Ritzicha, so there's absolutely nothing wrong in me doing an act of pikuach nefashos to save another guy who doesn't believe that I did an act of pikuach nefashos, but I did an act of ritzicha. And we have multiple similar situations. We have a classical example of this. I love this example. It's a technical example. It's a Yarideya example. There's a din that if you have a mixture of meat and milk, so then it becomes awesome. The rice of basa b'chola. The din in the Gemara, which the Mechaber Paschim is like, which Svarim hold from, is that you can trust what's called the Kfeila Armoy, a Goyish chef, to go and taste that food and say, I don't detect any milk in it. And therefore, if not Basim Cholo, the milk has been Mevato. You dropped a little milk in the Cholim, and now, is there enough milk in there to make it Basim Cholo? But not, so there's been a bittle. So the Gemara talks about trusting the Goyish chef to go and taste it. If the Goyish chef says there's no milk in there, it's mutter, 100% mutter, and you can eat it. Ashkenazim don't pass it like that. Ashkenazim don't trust the Kfeila Armor. For various reasons, there are more passings against that. Ashkenazim have to have Bittul B'Shisha, have to have 60. So if you know for sure that it's 60 against it, so then you're allowed to eat it. If you don't know, that it, or you know it's less than 60, you're not allowed to eat it. That's the deal. What does an Ashkenazi do when he doesn't know how much milk fell in? He can't estimate. He doesn't know if it's 60, it's 59, it was 61. So you know what? The sheet of Yonatan Ivish's Zatzal, the crazy place, you know what he says? He says, the Ashkenazi guy goes there to his Sephardi friend to go and ask the Goyish chef to taste it. The Goyish chef tastes it. It says, not a touch of milk. You want me to add some? No, don't add any milk. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. The Svardi guy now has a heter to eat it. The Svardi guy now goes and takes it and says, yeah, there is no milk here. Oh, Ramah also allows for Nehmanus, for an Ashkenazi, to trust the Svardi. An interesting idea in of itself. The Ashkenazi can trust the Svardi that there's no milk in there, and now the Ashkenazi can eat it, even though it's less than bottle b'shishim. He doesn't know if it's bottle b'shishim or not. Halacha l'maaser, you can take that to the bank. The Ashkenazi is relying upon something that he doesn't own from. to him to go and ask the Fail Admar to go and taste it for him and tell him guaranteed there's nothing there. Yet we allow this. Halacha l'maisa. Because I didn't do anything wrong. Another instance. I asked both of these to Rabbi Willard Schlieter just to make sure I wasn't saying something on my own, because I haven't seen a lot of discussion about this. Rabbi Willard Schlieter said, absolutely I'm correct. And he said, in this other scenario, he said exactly like I'm going to tell you. What about you hold from the Erev and your friend doesn't hold from the Erev? Maybe some communities have that, I don't know. Maybe, I never heard of such a controversy. So you're going over to his house for Shabbos. And what does a good host do? You bring a bottle of wine. And you carry it through that. What you say is perfectly Rishus HaYochid. And what he says is, let's make it interesting, it's Manhattan. It's Brooklyn. And he says, it's a Rishus HaRabim D'Araisa. You own it, it's a Rishus HaYochid. And you bring the wine there. Are you allowed to drink it? Can he drink it? And the answer is yeah. Because you did something that you have a halachic basis for. He's not doing any issa. He's relying upon your sheet. He doesn't hold from your sheet. So the fact that you don't hold from something and somebody else does hold from something doesn't mean that it can't be done. So halacha l'maisa, if you in fact hold that such an item is permissible, but he doesn't, so he's allowed to benefit from your doing it. So you can't do the transplant, but he can. Most of us aren't the transplant surgeon. So the transplant surgeon has to ask the shayla, how does he hold? But you as the recipient do not have to ask such a shayla. If the organ is available, you're allowed to take it. You just can't do it yourself or be the direct cause, which may or may not be the situation in Eretz Yisrael. But certainly in Chutz La'aretz, I happen to sit on the transplant committee of New York State. They're giving their organs to the southeastern region if we don't use it. And we're taking from the California region. And there's back and forth across the United States. There's almost no organ that doesn't get transplanted if it's viable. They'll find somebody that will use it. Therefore, what I want to talk in the last, I know I'm a little bit over, I need 2, 3, 4 minutes. Some of the rhetoric. I told you the halachic answer. It's absolutely mutter in halacha for you to accept if somebody else has taken it out. You can't be the cause, the direct cause, but you can have indirect benefit. I don't think there's anybody that disagrees with that from a halachic point of view. But from a rhetoric point of view, and again, I use the Hodes website because that's out there printed in very, very public view, and I'm taking statements from there. I'm not Chas V'Shalom castigating them, but I'm talking about an example of public rhetoric, which is dangerous. And it says on the website, when you put yourself on the transfer list, you're asking the doctor to remove vital organs for you in particular. You are, in effect, asking the doctor to murder someone on your behalf. That's absolutely ridiculous. It's not true. He's not doing murder. He holds that it's mutter. So that's just outright wrong. And if a Goyish person or a non-Jew person reads that, he says, Jews like to murder other Jews to save other people, which has been told to me. It's clearly morally reprehensible. That's what it says on the website. That's what the statement that's in your package that Rabbi Weiss spoke about the other day, a list of very distinguished rabbanim, wrote that it is morally reprehensible to do this. I never have to strongly disagree. You have to sometimes say, I disagree. I think it's unfortunately halachically wrong to publish such a statement in the secular press. If you want to have an argument like that in the Beis Medrash, we can argue back and forth. To put something like this in public to say it's morally reprehensible is, I think, not correct. Lania's dati. And this statement, which is in your books, I think it's on page 92, that Rabbi Weiss pointed to, states these specific things, and I have major problems with it from a halachic point of view. I have nothing against the individuals involved. Many of them are great rabbanim that I know. I'm not attacking them. They have a right to their opinion. I'm pointing out in the public domain, it's very dangerous. To recommend that rabbis adopt a strong predisposition to accept halachic viewpoint is halachically incorrect. We don't tell rabbis this is a good end result, and therefore that's what we want the psak to be. We like to go mix dancing, so let's find a heifer for it. And I found one posting that says, so let's get everybody to adopt that posting. We like to do things that are wrong.
And we can find maybe a sheet that says that maybe under certain circumstances, so let's go get the rabbis to adopt such a viewpoint. It's a halachically incorrect statement. Refer the rabbis to Leviticus to do so, you're wrong as your posseh. If your rabbi says, I can't talk to myself, I've asked many difficult nidushas to various rabbanim that opposed to me that I don't feel comfortable asking. And often I've gotten the answer from the Rav, I'd rather not answer this question, even though he's the one I will ask the Shiloh to. Say, go ask so-and-so instead. Because, okay, for various reasons, as we pointed out also by Rabbi White, in particular situations, Rav Shlomo might have said, go to Rav Waldenberg. Rav Moshe might have said, go to this posse. But not as a general rule that we should advocate for the laity to try to pressure the Rav to have a specific position. We're not a democracy, folks. It's highly damaging to the state of Israel, both internally and its relationship with the larger world and to the Jewish people. To have this morally untenable position, it's highly damaging to print such things. You don't think this paper has been quoted in the secular press and amongst anti-Orthodox Jews as an example of the Shefer of the Torah, Rahman and Ritzman? When rabbis say something is morally reprehensible and they don't have a halachic foot to stand on, that can be their personal shita. But you can't say that the other sheet is morally reprehensible. Tomorrow's Daf Yomi. I love the Daf Yomi because I always give my shiur based upon the Daf Yomi. God's talking to me. Tomorrow's Daf Yomi says that Rav Meir was shosek, he was mashik, in Amora, who went up there and said something that was not like his shita. And the Gemara says, why he would? Why would he do that? And the Gemara gives a reason why he answered it. And the Gemara says, obviously, he never would be shoseikin if he just paskined against us. It's impossible to imagine one rabbi telling another rabbi, you can't express your viewpoint. And to be shoseikin then is impossible. That's the Gemara's conclusion. For one group of rabbis to say to another group of rabbis that you don't have a right to express your halachic opinion, and it's morally reprehensible if you do, is kineged tomorrow's Daf Yomi, which is how we ask it. It's a problem. It's a major problem. And I won't go through it in detail. I just did it quickly to go through it. You can see the slides specifically yourself. It's just not true. A lot of the statements here are not halachically valid. They're heart conscious valid. They're socially secular value valid. We can't fall into the trap that we accept secular ethics instead of our holy Torah Kedosha. This is not a polemic against individuals. The individuals are that, are Yorei Shamayim, wonderful Jewish people. I have nothing against them. I'm arguing against the shita of publicizing that other rabbanim have no right to their opinion. That's what they published. It's morally reprehensible. I have been told countless times by Goyim and non-Jews, isn't Orthodox Judaism morally reprehensible? It says so by this list of rabbis. Aren't they Orthodox rabbis? It's a terrible situation to put ourselves in. And I conclude, do our enemies not hate us enough? We have to add fuel to the fire. Rhetoric has to be toned down on all sides. When you have poskim on this side saying the poskim on the other side are amaratzim, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. Quote halachic sources. Don't quote social concepts. Machlokis l'shem shamayim is mutter, is desirable, is wonderful. Machlokis that unfortunately doesn't do that leads to all sorts of trouble. The rhetoric has to be toned down. It's a halachic shayla. Poskim need to paskin it. Follow your poskim and live a wonderful long arichas yom. I don't know if there's any time for questions. Yeah.
Donor doesn't believe in brain
scan
death, but the doctor does.
Absolutely. Then he would be essentially saying, kill me. You're not allowed to kill yourself.
Right.
So absolutely. I don't think anybody on any camp would say that if the person doesn't give consent, you can take his organ while he's still believing he's halachically alive. No place, as far as I know, would say that. Even in the places where the default position is you can donate your organs, if the family objects, if the person who is alive says, do not do this to me, he's obviously brain dead. He's not saying that, but he wrote it 2 minutes ago, 2 hours ago. So I don't think there's anybody would say you can take your organs from such a person. That would clearly be secularly not allowed and halachically certainly not allowed.
He can still get organs, but not.
Absolutely. There's no...
there is no halachic principle that says yes and no. They're two separate shilas. The two don't go together. It's a mistake to put the two shilas together. They're not a related issue.
How often does this actual issue of determining brainstem death versus cardiac death practically come up?
It happens as often as there is a need for heart transplants, which is not rare, but it's not very, very common. That's why I wanted to also put in perspective from the beginning, the vast majority of transplants are actually permissible according to both camps. So you're talking here about a heart transplant, essentially a heart or heart-lung transplant in the United States. I don't know how many are done each year in the United States, but you're dealing with a significant number. So it's 5 a day, 10 a day, I don't know the exact number. Yes?
The way those statistics stand today, where is the line of differentiation between
if you hold that the person is dead, so the organ can go to the person who needs it, the next on the list. If you hold the person is alive, the organ can't go to anybody, whether he's the Gadol Hador, or whether he's the Yam Aretz Hador, or whether he's the Goy Hador.
Are there those who permit receiving from Gentile but not Jewish donors?
Offhand, I don't know if anybody has ever said that. I don't know. Yes.
You're saying these three things are at the bottom of our kevalecha also, right? That we shouldn't be doing these things, Chil Hashem, causing anti-Semitism.
Well, Chil Hashem is the one that's absolutely halacha.
Okay. But anti-Semitism, maybe as a code mefesh, I just wonder, I think what they said, okay, but I agree they shouldn't have put it in the public press. And the question is there an argument for arming ourselves and the old, you know, we're harming Jews, we're going to create a pogrom to keep taking and not give up.
So that's my whole point. Jews give. Orthodox Jews give. Haredi Jews give. There's nothing wrong with giving. That needs to be gotten out there. Yisrael Kedoshim, we probably have donated more kidneys to people that are unrelated, unknown to us, than any other ethnic group. In the Gaiisha world, there is no concept, I'm going to donate my kidney. It's rare it happens. They write about it in Newsday. They write about it in the newspaper. Every time such a mice occurs, it almost occurs once a day. Maybe not once a day, once a week, in the front camp. That's what needs to be gotten out there. We give more than others give. It's relatively easy to give an organ to a brother or sister. It's very difficult to give an organ to Yisrael Aredim Zelazah. That's a Kiddush Hashem. That needs to be out there.
What is the situation in Israel versus the outside world? What is the problem and what are the myths and facts and what is the what are some of the solutions?
I think in Israel it's different in that it's a very discreet group. I was actually speaking with Stanley before. Israel doesn't give their organs to other countries and doesn't accept organs from other countries. Israel is a unit, a region. Like we have the United States regions, except in the United States the regions share with each other. I can't imagine why, but maybe Egypt and Gaza and Saudi Arabia aren't thrilled about giving organs to Jews. They like to take them.
But if we give kidneys to France.
I do not know. Rabbi Stanley, please correct me if I'm wrong, said no.
So isn't that
There's a global
transplant. Which I don't. Rabbi Steinberg has said that Israel is not in that group.
Well, part of the problem is that being thrown out of it because there was a concentration of organs in one direction or the other. That was my understanding.
I can't answer that. I do not know.
So
Rabbi Steinberg, do you have information about that?
Threatened with or either put out of that organization because the movement of organs was going into Israel.
Or
the distance of flying from somewhere in France to Israel is not much different from flying from California to New York. So that's an
issue. Right. The time frame is not the issue. The issue is that Israel does not have enough organs for their own needs. So wherever there is an organ available, it goes to the Israeli needs. There is no excessive here if you have a heart available, and in New York or in Seoul, there's no one that can get it, to ship it to California. In Israel, the waiting list is so big and the donor rate is so low that whenever an organ is available, there's certainly a need for someone in Israel to get it. And therefore, it doesn't make sense, even from the European point of view, to give them before you give to your own.
And Israel
in New York, no one will ship it to California when in New York someone is in need and can get it.
They ship it to the closest place that's in need.
Well, and Israel will transplant it into a Palestinian terrorist, yes, which has occurred. So Israel is again an Ummah Shel Chesed. Israel doesn't distinguish and says only Jews can get the organs. They will give it to the next person on the transplant list, including a Palestinian terrorist.
One of the in Toronto, in Ontario, we have a program, a trillion programs, of the entire province. The chairman is Jewish, and he spoke recently, and he actually said something that's a little different. He said that, in fact, the Jewish population is the lowest donors of all of the ethnic groups. And there is a stereotype, which I think you're addressing, which is that organ transplantation is not permissible for halacha. And that is something that has nothing to do with the issue of brain cancer.
Absolutely.
So the data, at least in Canada, and others here can confirm that, I think Warren's here, we are the lowest in terms of that, because there's whether it be the issue of nevo pamase or all the other potential issues. And I think it's all about education, which I think you're doing.
Absolutely. I think that is a critical point. We need to get out to the world that Jewish people are proponents, active donors themselves. Without that small, minuscule percent of heart getting involved into the whole discussion. That message is 100% what I've been trying to say. We need to donate more organs. Not because we need to be able to get more organs, but because there's a need for more organs. So that is 100% true, and it's something that we need to push and make better understood.
I want to just correct one aspect of your talk. In principle, there are two sides. On the one hand, the education is lacking, and most people in Israel, the people who sign the donor card are 10% of the population. It doesn't make any sense that 90% of the population falls according to Abeliashi. That is what we they don't know. Well, I wish it would be so, but it's not. So 90% of the population who are non-religious, most of them non-religious, anti-religious, whatever you call them, they don't know. And that is because many Jews, when death comes around, even if all their lives they were Michal Shabbos and Hitlefer, they become religious. And they won't take halakha. And the concept, and I think this is both true here in Toronto and in Israel, the concept out there is that all the donation is forbidden. Halakha. It doesn't matter whether it's the machlokes of breakfast or not, or whether it's nivul hamet or burial to bury the whole. I think the fact is that 90% of Jews in Israel don't want to donate, and a very large percentage of them feels that this is the halakha. So I think there's a lot to do with education. But the point to make clear is that not only the heart and lung are an issue, the liver, the pancreas, and even the kidney to a certain degree, there is a very narrow window of time between cardiac death and the viability of the organ. Technically, it is almost impossible to do it. If you do it right halakhically, you need to have a very organized fashion to do it. Spain has done it, and they do it well. And they succeeded both with liver and kidneys, and even with the heart. After cardiac arrest, if the window is close enough, 7 to 8 minutes, you can harvest the heart and donate. But that is a very complicated logistic aspect, and therefore in most countries, it's not done, technically. So to come out and say, yes, we are giving, and we are willing to give liver, and we are willing to give kidney, and it's nice to say, but it's not helpful. The only way to do it now, currently, is to accept wages. And if you don't accept wages, you actually not give it. I'm not talking about light wages. Now, there are countries who are following Spain and trying to do it with a very low rate of success. The only way that is done in the United States, at least in Philadelphia and in other centers, is to insert all kinds of pipes while the person is still alive by all definitions, wait for cardiac arrest, take him to the OR, and take out the organs. That is halakhically not permissible by all views. So that is even worse than accepting brain death on the part of those who don't accept. So technically, it is very complicated. And therefore, I think that the issue is a bit more complicated than just saying, yes, we are giving, we are donating, it's nice, we are willing to do it. It's not so simple. And finally, I want to report to you, just recently, Rabbi Yashiv asked me to investigate how can organ donors be preserved after cardiac arrest, so that the Haredi community will be at least occasionally a part of the donating group. And I looked into the Spanish protocol, and it seemed to me that there are no halakhic shailas there. The American protocol is certainly out. You can't do it halakhically. But the Spanish one, I thought, was okay. And I came back to Rabbi Yashiv, and I told him, this is how they do it, and what's your opinion? So the words that he said was, on paper, it's perfect. I don't allow it. So I asked, what happened? So he said, I don't trust physicians because the time frame is 7 minutes. If you don't resuscitate fully, you can get it earlier. So if you are ready with your mind to take out organs, your effort of resuscitation will be much less because you want it to be cardiac arrest and take the organs. So I don't trust them that they'll really treat the patient the best they can, and only then wait 5 minutes and see that the heart didn't resume functioning, and then start to pump and get the organs. That is very complicated, and you need a lot of trust in them, and Rabbi Yashiv doesn't trust them. So he tells him that you can't do it. I was a little uneasy. Why did he send me to look into it, even though he thinks that a lot of it is okay, but anyway, he doesn't trust. What's the use of looking into it if he doesn't trust? But I'm relating to this story just from a few weeks ago.
Let me make this one comment on that. As I point out in my slide, the main issue is for heart and lung and for liver. For kidney, for bone, for cornea, for certain types of intestinal transplants, and for certain other transplant, it is absolutely capable of doing it in a way that satisfies halacha. And in Spain, they have satisfied halacha. So again, it is, I don't think, a halachic shayla. It becomes an economic shayla. It becomes a willingness to shayla. And it doesn't take into account live organ donor transplants, which is a major opportunity for Jewish people that wish to do chesed, to do such a chesed. Not an easy chesed. Not one that you're going to do willy-nilly. But again, I think the message needs to get out there that Jewish people are allowed halachically to donate, whether it's this organ or that organ. If we're part of the organ donor pool, then we are allowed, certainly ethically, in their terms, to receive them. Halachically, we're allowed anyway. And I'll point out, in New York, the biggest group is not Jews that doesn't donate, it is Afro-Americans. And there's a huge education campaign that's underway to try to get Afro-Americans to organ donate. And in other Orthodox non-Jewish camps, there's also a strong push being made to change their approach, where they also think, mistakenly, that you can't donate an organ.
Just a point, number one, on the Spanish situation. The reason Spain is so wonderful, Spain is one of the first countries in the world to have a sign that you don't want, otherwise you're automatically considered. So that gives Spain the jump on many other countries. And education will do a lot. I'm a bone marrow transplant. And if you want want to see were Jews, and then get rid of the banks which are designed to take care of ourselves. That's in trouble. But the bank, you go to the National Marijuana Program, the Canadian Bank, the highest percentage of donors, potential donors on those banks are Jews.
Absolutely.
So education can do a hell of a lot. People, and I think this is an area where there's not enough.
Absolutely. That's the answer to the kick drill against the Jewish people. The halachic issues are going to remain halachic issues. You can't change those. There is no way to change them. But education, public society, that's a very good point. I'm sorry I didn't mention about long now. And in the United States, my understanding is even all the Jewish organizations share that information. Gift of Life and other bone marrow registries, they give them equally out to non-Jewish people. So obviously there's going to be a high likelihood of matching within Jewish people because of genetic reasons, but those are not restricted in any way, shape, or form, and as you very accurately, correctly pointed out, there is a huge number of Jewish peoples in those donor banks. That's an important point to remember.